Thank you, worship leader. I will do my best to try and keep it simple. And since I've been told in the past that I shouldn't hold everybody to ransom, you know, so that's why the title today, Forget the Past. No, it has nothing to do with that. Actually, what I'm about to talk this what I'm about to talk about this morning is something that came out of what Sri Yukteswar said. So first of all, let me say good morning to each and every one of you. I'm glad you are here. And for those this might benefit down the line, may they feel the presence of God that we feel in our meditation and worship today. Today I want to talk about something that is essential to spiritual growth and personal transformation. And the message is simple. Let go of the past. It may sound like something we just talked not too long ago. Let go of the past. Not necessarily forget it. Because I've heard people say that, and I've probably said, oh, you know, just forget the past. You know? No, let go of the past. That's what they will say. What has happened, move on. Because if you forget the past, you will not learn the lesson. So let go of it, whatever your past might be. And so here I'm going to quote Sri Yukteswar, and I'll give a reason why he said what he said. And this teaching is attributed to Sri Yukteswar, an autobiography of a yogi. Forget the past. The vanished lives of all men are dark with many shames. So he said, the past lives, you know, for men are dark with many shames. Human conduct is ever unreliable until anchored in the divine. Everything in the future will improve if you are making a spiritual effort now. Every time I think about it, it's on my desk. Every time I think about that, it rises me up like, no. Right now determines what you taste tomorrow, not what happened yesterday. So let us think about those words. Everything in the future will improve if we're making a spiritual effort now. Not yesterday, not someday, now. We all know you cannot drive a car by staring constantly in the rear view mirror, can you? Well, I'm here to see anyone who does that. God help them. Huh? The mirror has a purpose. Look back occasionally. You learn what is behind you. But if you stare at it while driving forward, you are going to crash. I don't want us to forget this image. That's why I included it there. A spirit inspired. Whatever happens to us, we cannot hold on to it because then we can't move forward. So, and sometimes that's exactly what we do with our lives when you are looking in your rear view mirror. We don't need to do that. We keep looking backward. We replay the mistake. We replay the argument. We replay the relationship. We replay the failure. We replay the words someone said to us, and we keep asking, why did I do that? Why did that happen to me? Why didn't I know better? But there comes a time when we have to stop looking in the rear view mirror. Now that I'm saying these words, I'm even thinking, is it so there is a certain issue? Is that why Spirit brought this now? It's happened. Because your life, my life, is happening in front of us right now. I don't want to bring Ed in yet, because what he said really, like, I'm thinking we all should be like that. But at one point, I'm going to bring Ed in. We should remember the lesson, release the burden. Now, I don't believe we should literally forget our past, because if we forget everything that happened, we may also forget the lessons. The goal is not to erase the past. The goal is to transform our relationship with it. Don't let it sit on you like a food that won't digest, you know. No. There's a difference between remembering something and continuing to suffer because of it. You can remember the experience without becoming the experience. Because that's what we do when we keep looking in the rear mirror. That experience is gone, but why do we have to make it our identity? You can say, yes, I made that mistake, but you don't have to say, therefore, I am a mistake. I remember Yogananda saying, never say you are a sinner. He said, that's against everything God stood for. You are not a sinner. You are a child of God. So you commit sin, whoop-de-doo. It's part of life. You learn from it, you move on, not to do it again. Well, Baba Yogananda didn't say whoop-de-doo. That's Baba Moses. You can say, yes, I failed. But you don't have to say, therefore, I am a failure. I'm not the first one saying that. Because every time Spirit brings this thing to remind us, it also reminds me of the ones God has sent ahead of us. They all have that binoculars where they're able to see. And they say it. Don't say you're a failure. So you failed. You learn from there, and then you pass the exam again. You can say, yes, I made some poor choices. But you can also say, I am making different choices today. That is spiritual growth. The past does not have the final word. Some of you have heard when I say, what I really desire from God, if I didn't get it, even if they bury me, and they say, I will come back. Because I'm saying, whatever has led until my demise, it doesn't have a hold on me. Not until God says, this is final. Isn't that why they say in opera, the fat lady sings? Yeah. So why should you just keep carrying the past saying, yes, it determined? No, it's the past. If the past won't go away, you kick it away. If it won't go, you bury it. If you have to bring Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Mother Mary, Archangel Michael, bring all of them. They will help you uproot it. There's a song I grew up with. They said, say Satan cannot build a house where Jesus is. If he builds it, we're going to uproot it. We're going to demolish it. Because the power of Christ will not let it stay. So now who is in charge? And that's the same thing for us. We cannot allow our mistakes to become our identity or our past to determine. No. If your desire is not coming out, you better not give up on it. And don't let that, don't let it hold you. Don't wear it as a necklace. The past does not have the final word. One of the most beautiful ideas found across spiritual traditions is that the past does not have to determine the future. Buddhism teaches us about non-attachment and returning our attention to the present. Isn't it? We've all heard it. When are we going to start practicing it? Christianity speaks of forgiveness and becoming renewed. Jesus tells you, yeah, you can't do this by yourself, but with me and with God, everything is possible. He didn't say you should hold on to the past. He didn't tell the Samaritan woman because she was still holding to the past. They won't let me go to Jerusalem to work, and they won't let me go to a mountain where we are. He said, what do you need any of those for? I'll give you a living water right here. You don't need that. That's the past. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell when the chief priest and all of that didn't want to hear it. They were still holding, we're children of Abraham. This is what Moses said. And here is Moses saying, no, listen to the one who comes after me. Islam teaches repentance and the boundless mercy of God. The reason why I started that, because if we just stay with Christianity, we won't see how expansive and the unity and oneness of God. That's why I'm showing us what all the different spiritual practices are. They're all saying the same. It might look different, but it's the same. Islam teaches repentance and the boundless mercy of God, which every one of them has said. Judaism reminds us of our human tendency toward error and the importance of continually turning toward God and righteousness. I mean, they have expressions for it. Sometimes I won't use the expression because we don't want to butcher it for people whose native language, where they can say it well. But sometimes we put it out. Taoism, the Tao, teaches us to stop fighting the natural flow of life. Sounds like something we even talked about before. The natural flow, because the river is the natural flow. Sikhism, we never talked about Sikhism, teaches remembrance of the divine in the present breath. Every breath you take, every step you make, I'm watching you, that's God. Every time you're able to breathe comfortably, not using air, gas, thing. Never forget. That is the divine sustaining you and I. The divine in the present breath. So, whatever the different traditions, different languages, but there's a common message. Come back to the present. Forget the past. As Shuyu Teswa said. Because the present is where transformation happens. Oh my God, you can do anything you want. Even your greatest desire can be fulfilled right now in that present. If that's what God chooses to give you. And you are so inclined, you've developed for. Now, I don't know who said this. And I don't want to, but I think we've heard this, but I also know Vivekananda says something about this. There's a saying, even the greatest saint has a past. I'm not sure if Vivekananda said it. And the greatest sinner has a future. And Vivekananda said, they are all equal. They are all great. I love that. Because it means nobody is finished. Nobody is beyond transformation. Nobody has to remain permanently imprisoned by their worst decision. Otherwise, that armed robber on the cross, he wouldn't be transformed and realized right there, you know. Your past may explain where you have been because you took your feet there, you went there. But it does not have to determine where you are going. Think about that for a minute. I'm sure that's why in the English language they have past, present, and future. Past, in English language, when they have past, principal, present, and
past, participle, past, present, future.
Yeah, they have that. I mean, I used to remember that when I was much younger. Old man. Your past may explain you, but it does not have to define you. The person who told story is someone I know. And I remember him talking about this story in 2020. I think COVID was still around, right? This is what he said. He said, Ed was a neighbor and eventually a friend who looked upon life with a humorous detachment. He died a few years ago. Ed also, as a young man, had robbed banks. Like most who take up that profession, he was captured and sent to prison. But a decade in jail didn't harden him as it does many. He served his time, studied, got along with others in difficult circumstances, and came out looking to start life anew. And I can imagine it was with a smile on his face. After his release, Ed bounced from one job to another, keeping quiet about his past. Invariably, his prison time would eventually come to light. And when he did, his employers and co-workers' attitudes toward him would suddenly change. They tried to hide, but you could tell when somebody no longer likes you, you know. But they feel you are taking too much time. Move on. You can always tell. Nothing might be said, but they showed best trust, and his relationships with them cooled up. In the eyes of the world, and maybe even in his own, Ed couldn't escape being an ex-con and treated as such. He felt stigmatized, but he was wise enough to do something about it and take a new approach. If you've ever met people who went to prison who have broken the law or something, unless they there's always this, they don't feel that they are fully welcome. And that's why, and I don't blame them. Sit on your secret. The moment they know it, people will treat you with that. We see that happen all the time. It doesn't matter whether they're politicians or religious leaders or social or anyone, even neighbors. He felt stigmatized, but he was wise enough to do something about it and take a new approach. When asked, "So Ed, what have you been doing up till now?" Please listen to this. This is the key of this whole talk. I cannot say it enough. It always brings a smile to my face. "So Ed, what have you been doing up till now?" He began to casually reply with a smile and seemingly carefree tone. "Oh, nothing much. I tried robbing banks for a few years, but that didn't work out too well." You see, he didn't take it like seriously. "Oh, nothing much. I tried robbing banks for a few years, but that didn't work out too well." He would then pause. His forthright and unusual answer usually gained his listeners' attention, and combined with his relaxed manner, put them at ease enough to ask, "Really? Won't you, if somebody casually sells that, you would want to know? Do talk." Isn't that what's the expression? Do tell. And tell in detail. Do tell. Yep. Inquiry minds wants to know now. "Really, tell me about it. Wouldn't you to be interested in hearing this story?" So let me leave Ed. Now you know what Ed did. Okay. So what happened to Ed? Ed felt that people saw the label before they saw the person. And perhaps he saw himself that way too, because after a while, unless you've matured spiritually, then you don't let people stigmatize you. But if you had that consciousness in you, guess what? It will exude out. People can smell it. But eventually, Ed found a different way to deal with his past. Someone would ask him, like I said. After I said, people would look at him, and inevitably, someone would say, and you can find that Ed was no longer hiding from his past. He owned his own story. He wasn't proud of what he had done. That's not what he was. He wasn't pretending it didn't happen, but he had stopped allowing it to define him. And that is an important lesson for all of us, because that's what Sri Yukteswar was saying. Sometimes the thing that has the greatest power over us is the thing we are most afraid to acknowledge. When we can finally look at our past honestly, without excuses, without shame, without pretending, we can learn from it, and then we can release it. That's what they teach us. That's what the saints are all talking about. They all committed one thing or the other. Look at Moses. He killed somebody, but did that stop God from using him? Even when the big rascal said, well, you can't let him in, you know. He's like, what did God say? Like, get out of the way. Let my son come in. He's Moses. What about grief? Well, it's so easy to say, forget the past. But perhaps the hardest thing to let go of isn't a mistake. Perhaps it's a person, someone we loved who is no longer here. If you've ever lost one, you will know. Even after they are gone, sometimes you still remember them. Sometimes you might miss them, sometimes, but it might put a smile on your face. Sometimes you might just, you know. Someone once asked, how do I let go of someone I loved? It's been years and the pain is still there. And we can also see this in relationship where it's a divorce and all of that. And maybe the answer is this. You don't have to let go of the love. I still love my mama and my papa, even though they have been long gone now. But I don't have tears anymore, like, oh, mama, I wish you were here. I can sure use that nice food that you cook for, or that wisdom. Remember who you are. We don't have to let go of the love, but we can let go of the suffering that we feel when we remember. You don't have to forget their face. You don't have to erase their memory. You don't have to stop loving them. Instead, you learn to carry the love differently. Isn't that what we do? Those of us who have lost our loved ones. Yeah. And then we also realize they are not perfect, isn't it? But we still love them anyway. At first, the memory may bring tears, but eventually, perhaps, it brings gratitude. Don't we all say, thank you, mama, thank you, papa, you know, for all you did for me while you were here. Well, that's how I pray when I do my ancestors. Also, some of the things I didn't appreciate when they were here, now I appreciate them real time, real good, you know, and I don't let them forget it. Even sometimes I say, mama, I'm sorry I didn't act that way. Oh, I wish I can do that, but, you know, if wishes were horses, beggars would be right. So, what is done is done. But now you know, mama knows I love her. And my mama loves me. So at first the memory may bring tears, but eventually perhaps it brings gratitude. I was blessed to have known them. That's what we say. The person may no longer be physically present, but the love they awakened in you can remain. So don't be afraid to remember that love. Remember with love. That sounds like a James Bond movie, isn't it? But don't make grief your permanent home. That's the thing there. Because I have to include that because I've had the experience of people who lost someone. 5 years later, they're still grieving. Life is a river. I am not talking about when they make the expression, cry me a river. Because I love that expression, cry me a river. If you've ever been to a river, this will make sense. But if you've never been to a river, this one, it won't click on. Life is a river. You cannot step into the same water twice. Do we get what I'm saying here? The water that passed yesterday is gone. Even if you go in and you step out, by the time you come back, that water is not there because the current keeps moving. And the moment that is passing right now will soon be gone too. So why spend your entire life standing in yesterday's water? Forget the past. That is the title of our talk today. Look at what is here now. Now. Now is the breath. Didn't we say God is the breath? Now, this morning, this opportunity, this choice, this moment, without this breath, we have no future. And that's God. Without God, forget it. What does George Judy say? What's that expression?
For better or
forget it. If you're not going to make better use of your life, you can forget it. If you're not going to feel that God is present, you can forget it then. Without this breath, we have no future. And without the present moment, we have no ability to change our lives. So what can you and I do today? So instead of asking, why did I do that? Ask, what did I learn? It's always the best thing. Instead of asking, why did this happen to me? Because the reason I remember Spirit bringing this on in, because I'm still wrestling with something. I'm trying to see, could I have avoided it? Maybe after going to the water place, I should have just gone home. But no, I drove and then what happened? And I'm saying, Lord, I want to know the reason why that happened so that I can avoid it. But I'm still drawing in my head. Everything looks so nice. Otherwise, I wouldn't have. But why did this happen? Instead of saying that, why did this happen to me? Ask, what can I become because of it? So I'm asking, okay, Lord, the reason I want to know so that I know how to behave next time. Because if I know why it happened, I will remember, you know. And it's not like I misbehaved. It just happened. But that inquiry mind was, why? Instead of saying, I can't change, we can say, I can make a different choice today. Because every moment gives us another opportunity to forgive, another opportunity to love, another opportunity to become kinder, another opportunity to tell the truth, another opportunity to serve. You know, these are all opportunities. Another opportunity to reconnect with God. Because that made me, it's like, okay, Lord, Maybe I'm not paying attention. Okay. Another point, to become who we were meant to be. No matter how much we have grown, there's always that child within us. Remember, God didn't say, oh, my grown-up children, he said, my children, right? He didn't call, God never called us adults, he said, my children. And that's why you see Babaji and Jesus still called, you know, my children. Mother Mary, my children, even though we're all grown. Some of them might be 1,000 years old, but they still call us my children. There's something beautiful that exists within every child. Innocence, wonder, love, trust, a natural connection to something greater than ourselves. Then life happens. We make mistakes. We experience pain. We become angry. We become afraid. We sometimes lose our way. If you think that can happen to you, well, you've not tasted life. Because that's why some people will say, God, what have you done for me lately? Because when things happen and we've come up to this, then we say, well, I don't want to meditate anymore. I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want. No. That's life, but you don't let that cloak weigh you down. And I know what I'm talking about. You can't do this work and not see all of these things within myself and with others. And sometimes we lose our way because the experience of life. That's why you see some people say, I'm not meditating, they won't go to church, they won't go to masjid. They don't even want to gather around them. If you talk anything about, if you just pouch your lips and want to say the G word for God, oh, they will run away. You will never see them again. You never become their friend. And sometimes don't blame them. So even if we lose our way, but our spiritual nature hasn't necessarily disappeared. Just because they run away, God is still with them, isn't it? God is still with us. And even though we're covered by all these things that happen in life, but we must remember spiritual growth is often the process of removing these coverings. Anything that does not allow you to really enjoy God, you need to remove it. Because if you enjoy God, that means you're enjoying yourself. That means forgive yourself. That's part of removing the covering. Remember how we usually blame ourselves so much? We criticize. Yeah. Take the covering off. Forgive yourself. Learn the lesson. Make amends where necessary. And then continue walking. Don't spend the rest of your life, my life, standing beside the mistake we made years ago. We need to move. God's light is still there. No matter what anybody tells you. Now, I want to remind us of the rear view mirror because I'm bringing this to a close so that those of them who are already stretching them relax. So, remember the image of the car. Look in the rear view mirror when you need to. Learn from what is behind you, but then look forward because you cannot drive into your future while staring at your. I think we should emblazon that in front of us and wear it as glasses. You cannot drive into your future while staring at your past. Your future is not being created yesterday. It is being created today. And that's why Sri Yukteswar teaching is so powerful. Everything in the future, remember he said that, will improve if you are making a spiritual effort now. Now, not tomorrow, not when you are perfect. Not when everything is fixed. Now. So today I want you to take the past and put it in its proper place. I was going to say something, but Don't deny it. Don't worship it. Don't run from it. Learn from it. And then release it. Keep the wisdom that it brings, because everything brings wisdom, isn't it? The opportunity. Let us release the shame that we feel because of whatever we are doing. We got to let it go. We got to release it. But our parasite will start munching. They will still keep munching on us. We should keep the love that comes from the wisdom. Because when you know you've been blessed with wisdom, you can't help it. Love fills your heart. We should release the suffering, that shame, and whatever else the judgment brings. But we keep the lesson. We should release the guilt. And we should do one thing. Please. We should look at our past with compassion. Look at our present with gratitude. And look towards our future with faith. You don't have to be a Christian to talk about faith. Because if you can have compassion on what happened to you and what mistakes you made, it would be easier for you to live in the present. And it would be easier for each of us to be grateful, isn't it? We might not get everything we want, but that we have something, we are grateful for it. We are not what we did yesterday, but we are what we choose today. It's a matter of choice. And perhaps the greatest spiritual freedom is being able to say, yes, that happened to me. Remember, Ed? How are you doing, Ed? Oh, well. Say, well, I tried to rub it. It didn't work out. I love that, you know. Yes, I made mistake, Ed said. Yes, I have things in my past that I wish I could change. We are like Ed. But I'm not living there anymore. Now, take a breath. Who's that breath? God. And say to yourself now. Please repeat after me. Yesterday is gone.
Yesterday is gone.
Tomorrow is unpromised. But
this moment is mine.
Yesterday is gone.
Tomorrow is unpromised.
But this moment is mine.
This breath is mine.
This choice is mine.
This opportunity is mine.
And with God's light guiding me, I will move forward.
I will forgive.
I will learn.
I will love.
I will grow. And I will not allow my past
to steal the sacredness of this present moment.
Let go of the past. And I learn from it. Bless what comes with that, with affirmation. And then let us walk courageously in what is becoming. Amen?
Amen.